What up, Donut Squad, and welcome to
Holy Matrimony, a podcast where we have the whole conversation about the humor,
holiness,
and hardships of marriage.
My name is Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Anna Glaze.
And we are that Catholic couple. And today's episode is with Shannon and Michael Gormley, which y'all know Michael Gormley, who's also known as Gomer, from Catching Foxes. This is the second, I guess, part two to the Luke and Aaron Carey podcast.
Yes, because we all know that Luke and Gomer are actually together. They are the marriage.
But this was an interesting episode.
Oh, this is the first time where we actually just sat and listened to the story of how they met, basically, and how they got to the altar.
It's a treat.
And
it's
that took 45 treat. Minutes long. So also, if there are any Houston references that you have no idea what they mean, sorry about you. We just love Houston and it's the best city in the world. So they are amazing and we really hope you enjoy it.
Deal. So I would like to welcome everyone to Holy Matrimony, where we value discussion over instruction.
Yeah, we really do.
You heartless jerk.
Have you been on other podcasts and they've said that?
Or are we the first ones? No one has ever done that.
Have the gall to say that. Gall.
No one has ever had the vinegared wine to do that.
No one has had the gallbladder to ever say it before.
So we have our wonderful friends, the Gormleys, here with us, in case you haven't heard the lovely voice of Gomer already. Why don't you guys introduce yourself, first off, and then we'll get started.
My name is Michael, but my friends call me Gomer. No one calls me Michael. And I work at a parish full-time, and then part-time I do Catching Foxes show. It's a podcast it's supposed to be for young adults, but most people that listen to it are middle-aged priests. and then I also have a new show with Ascension Press called Every Knee Shall Bow with my buddy Dave Van Vickle, which is a lot of fun. And apparently I'm married.
What?
But my wife has listened to not a single thing I've ever done in my life.
No, that's not true. I listened to Maria Walther's episode. So
oh, about motherhood.
The motherhood episode.
I listened to one.
One episode, so.
So who's that other voice? Who's that other voice?
Who's that other voice?
So I'm Shannon. I'm the other half of the Gormleys. And I do nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm retired. That's not true. I stay at home with our four kids. We homeschool because we're weird.
Scared of the world.
We are. And I don't know. I used to work at St. Lawrence.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's right.
I've literally never been there before.
Yeah, she used to be the director of youth ministry and then was the director of children's formation.
Elementary faith formation and first sacraments.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Back in the day. Back when I had brain cells.
I completely get that.
That's way before the Ave Maria Center was built. This was still when y'all were in the same. Okay.
When I first started at St. Lawrence, actually, so this is like side note of side notes, we were in the religious education building, which was the old Baptist church.
Yep.
And my office was like this, like, crappily built, like, room in the youth room back at the time.
It was like a fishbowl. The whole walls were windows.
It was so weird. It was like literally like just someone threw it up there because when they were like going to tear it down, they just like pushed it and it like
fell in.
And it was
so interesting. Anyway. That's
crazy.
Sorry, we had a warning on our recorder saying it's not recording fast enough. I don't know what is doing on my laptop that makes it that slow.
That's so crazy.
I was just going to say, are you plugged in? Is your laptop connected to a power source?
Oh, I thought it was. Good call.
There it is. He's going to go get that started. But question, were you already there when Father Drew was there? He's been there like a bajillion years.
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know how far... but you're not like 20 years. You're not 12. Old. You're not 20 years older than us. So I don't know how that made sense in my head.
It depends how old you are. But no, Father Drew has been there forever.
Yeah,
he's been there. He was an associate pastor, I think, there, and then made pastor.
Oh, he was in. Oh, yeah. I'm
yeah, because he got sick for a minute.
Okay.
And they brought him over there, and then he became head honcho.
Father Drew.
You know who does a great Father Drew impression? Jonathan Alexander.
Diocese.
That's true. Every priest in the diocese. Jonathan Alexander does a great one. Oh, yeah. Great Father Drew.
Because every Sunday he was like, Shannon. On the way up to do
announcements. That's so funny.
The best.
Because I know exactly how that sounds. That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, or you don't. You've never been in that parish. You've never.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I've never set foot in there.
You've never met this said Father Drew.
Correct. Absolutely. What is St. Lawrence? What are saints? What is a church? Actually, we debated on just having Shannon do this entire interview. So we still might keep it that way. Sorry, yeah, Gomer.
Sorry, Gomer. Get out.
He's just the eye candy for you guys.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Look at me, but you listen to her.
Yeah. Is that what you tell your kids? Yes, definitely. Just look at daddy. Just look at daddy. Okay. So is there any specific question you want to ask? Because I've got one right off the bat.
Well, so I think we both have one right off the bat. So one of the biggest questions that we wanted to ask y'all specifically when you came on, first off, we're just really excited to talk to both of you, because we've seen we've heard Gomer's other half, Luke, and we have talked to Luke and Aaron as well on the podcast already. And so I think one of the main things that I want to talk to Shannon and Gomer is how it is to have one husband who's kind of like
one husband, as opposed to the other.
One husband, yeah. Who's in the...
My husband.
So. Yeah, the only one. Who's in the ministerial, like, spotlight, I guess.
So is this separate from, like, Gomer's content creation kind of stuff? Because that's what I wanted to ask Shane. Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, because as somebody...
No, I think we're on the same page on the question, yeah.
Because I know what it takes to like create content all the time,
right?
And I know that Gomer does that probably like a hundredfold than I do. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, what, if y'all are like willing to open up about it, like, what does the family life look like when you have someone who crushes it as hard as Gomer does? Because I guarantee you Shannon has to crush it just as hard or harder.
So I
kind of wanted to pass that over to you.
No, so I get asked like all the time, like, how do you handle all of that? And I always say, like, when we first got married, we got married on a Saturday. We packed up the U-Haul on Monday. Tuesday, we drove to Austin from St. Louis, because that's where we got married. It's where I'm from. And so then we drove to Austin on Tuesday. And then Friday, he flew out for 3 weeks. And so, like, that's literally, like, how we started our married life. And so that was just, like...
I forgot that.
That was, like... Now I got to go for, like, the last part of it. Mm-hmm. I got to go out and meet him somewhere, but like, so we just threw our stuff in the house that we were going to live in, and then he left, and then I drove down to Sugarland to hang out with all my people that I'd known for years from down there. So that's literally like how we started life. And so I knew that was like what was going to be forever, basically. This was how our life was going to be. And so I don't know, I just kind of got, I think, mentally was used to it right off the bat, like,
right.
And that year he was gone pretty often.
Yeah.
I made a lot of trips to Sugarland from Austin.
Gotcha. Sugarland is great. We are ready to move out there. Anytime. Okay, so before we get into more of this conversation, I do want to get a little bit of context. So tell us about
how y'all became
started. So how long have you been married? Where did that all happen? How did you meet?
Do you want our dating history? Because you might need another podcast for that.
It's ugly. The fairy tale. Husband, a terrible boyfriend.
Our dating relationship was like thing on the planet.
It was awful.
Like, it was beyond. My family used to call me Dee Dee for dysfunctional dater
before me.
Yeah, and then Michael before and I me. Met, and
she was a grad student. I was an undergrad. I was young and naive, scared even about the ways of the world. And in walks this older, mature, sophisticated woman who just fucked me from my cradle and rocked me like that. So we were all friends. I was an RA, she was an RC, you know, in the dorms, you know, we were the narc students. And we just had this friendship from day one, ever since I saw her doing stretches in the field. First day. Already bonding.
I will never live that down. No, I remember the first
Oh,
time
that
I
wasn't a joke.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. I thought you were just joking around. That's hilarious.
Course, yeah. And apparently it was like a thing, and I'm so embarrassed about it to this day. Stop. Anyways, no, the first time I ever met Michael, I'd been away from Franciscan for like 2 years, and then I came back, and so everybody I'd known before had basically graduated.
Laura was dead. She's so old.
Anyways, but I remember walking into like the lobby of one of the residence halls, and like everybody was crowded around this one person, this guy, and he was like telling this story about his summer adventure. He had everyone like hanging on every word. He said they were so engrossed into like his summer. I just remember being like, because I knew no one, I was like, I want to know that guy because he knows everybody. Like, I want to be his friend or whatever. And
connected.
Then, yeah. And then we were friends for a year and then we made out. And then that was probably where we got off on the wrong foot.
Oh, no. Or the right foot, depending on.
Or the wrong tongue, depending on.
Anyways.
But we dated on and off. I ran out of money, so I couldn't. I just started undergrad to grad school. I ran out of money. So I was making plans to go back to my home parish of St. Anthony in Padua in the Woodlands, where I'm at now, to become the youth minister. And then she got the job alongside Ben Walther, being director of youth ministry down in Sugar Land. Mm. Other sides of Houston were like, oh, it's in Houston. Houston here.
So close. Well, it's
an hour and a half apart. But and so we both worked, and so we were a ministry power couple. And she was down in Sugar Land. I was up in the Woodlands, and I would drive down all the time. All my friends lived down there. So then at one point I got an apartment. My two buddies, Jonathan Alexander and Brian Kelch, moved in with us. They were her employees living with me. It was an apartment in the middle between our places. She lived in a different place with a friend of hers about 20, 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And we just, all of our groups of friends, they were the same group. So when I broke up with her every 6 to 9 months,
knew about it.
Oh, discerning the priesthood.
Yeah. Hey, can you imagine being a youth minister, taking your kids to a Stuhlville youth conference, and when they call forward people thinking about the priesthood, I walk by her church because we broke up 2 weeks earlier.
You're going up there? That's amazing.
Never done that.
Yeah. Sure did. And then like his entire core team and my core team like swarmed me. They were like, it's okay. And so I had to leave the auditorium because
oh my
like,
God.
Gomer, you're a douchebag.
What an angel.
And then we got back together and he said, I discerned my vocation. And my vocation is you. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. So in my mind, I'm thinking engagement is imminent. Oh, not okay. So much.
Wasn't in my mind.
2 years later, I finally was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm ready for like the next step in life. And I came to his apartment. Brian and Jonathan were in the front family room and they knew what was going to happen. I had kind of given them the heads up, like, because I was disgruntled. And so I walked past them, sat down with Michael, put everything on the line.
Basically said, I'm not saying we got to get married now. But we have to be pursuing marriage. We can't just keep doing this. And I said, I love you. I do want to marry you.
But not right
now. Yes, here's my deal. This was my grand reasoning. Okay. She is only like 2 years older than me age-wise, but she was a senior in college when I was a senior in high school. So she graduated early. I went into college late because I was homeschooled and never actually graduated. But so so when I was a freshman, she had already finished. So I would say to her, like, you went out and did your thing, and then you came back and got your graduate degree. Like, you've done these life things. I want to build my own ministry. And I'm like, and I want to travel. And I've been working towards doing all these side talks and stuff. And it just started to pick up. And I was like, I would hate to start this thing where what if I have to move to a different city and blah, blah, blah. So my whole thing was like, I do want to marry you. It's not like I'm thinking like I'm waiting for someone better to come along. But
shit in like, face. Yeah.
But
we know that ain't happening.
Yeah. But that was my reasoning. And she left. And as soon as she said, if I walk out the door, I'm never coming back. And I said,
get it, girl.
You have to do. Yeah. And so she left.
And then I repeated myself because he said no. He said no again. And I was like,
it's like with kids, right? Like you give them the ultimatum.
I'm gonna get out of this chair and I'm gonna walk out the door. And
she was so pissed.
I was so pissed.
She was so pissed.
I got out of the chair and then I walked by. Brian and John. And I was like, bye. You guys have a nice night.
Have a nice night.
Yeah. They do an altar call for her. Like, yeah, she like walks by. Her.
If you are pursuing a life of murdering Gomer, yeah. Please stand up.
Like six women get
please
up.
Come
like,
whoa.
Jonathan stands up too. Like, what the hell, man?
He's like, you don't know what you did with working in an office with her. Like, ugh. Anyways, it was a.
But I want her back. It only took about 5 proposals. The greatest words in the English language, I love you, God is here, and I wore you down.
Basically.
When I tell my version of how I proposed to her, literally, we did these talk where it was in tandem. I went first, Shannon went second. We did the talk, and there was a line of women like, oh my God, you're just this hopeless romantic, blah, blah, blah. Then Shannon tells her side of the story. And those same women want to murder me. Pitchforks and stuff. Because Shannon tells her side of how hurt she was and how she put her on the line. Meanwhile, I'm like this aloof idiot who doesn't understand relationships and women and dynamics of giving your heart to someone. So I plunge myself. I'm like, it was like a week later. I was like, well, that was a terrible mistake. But then I was like, I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to go back because I can't be fickle. So I'm going to take a month and discern this. So at the end of the month,
because we had already broken up so many times, everyone's like, going to murder us.
Yeah. It's like the Sumo conference office is like, all right, Shannon, when you're booking your teens, are you guys still dating? You got to put our vocation director on notice. Like, yeah.
So how many therapists do we need to have on staff that week?
So I'm trying to be brief, but that's at the like a month and a half goes by, and I go and tell her. Like, listen, I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. It was a terrible mistake. And she said, I'll never forget. And now it's me saying no to you. And she got up and left.
Damn!
And I remember thinking, that's not how this is supposed to
be. She brought me flowers and stuff. And as soon as we left, I took the flowers and just put them in the trash. I was so pissed.
So when I proposed to her, I'm going to summarize my epic proposal. So that was me just trying to win her back. So it all kept coming. I call my spiritual director. I tell him the story. He was her spiritual director at the time as well. And he said,
of course.
Total conflict of interest, you guys. What were you doing?
This is all. I'm very active with him. Let me put it that way. And he just said, Mike, you took her for granted. You took her for granted. Your words mean nothing. Actions have to be louder than words. I said, what does that mean? He said, propose to her. I was like, wow, my best friend's wife said that last night. So. Okay, so I called my mom and I got her engagement ring. And he said, for the next 5 days, I want you to do a holy hour and write in a journal, I'm thankful for Shannon because. Shannon was on a retreat with her seniors. I went to a holy hour. And instead of 5 holy hours, 1 hour a day, I did 5 holy hours that day. attended the nuptial renewals of a couple from Mexico City that came into the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. Don't know what happened there, but I think it was God. Then eventually,
couldn't understand a thing, but I think it was good.
Yeah. Yo soy amazing.
Muy bien, muy bien.
And then so the epic proposal was, I'm waiting outside. She has a 4-story apartment building with a security garage that's 4 stories. And you have to park on that level, and then there's a big metal gate in the hallway that someone has to let you in. So she's not answering her cell phone to buzz me into the garage. And so a car comes out, and I gun it behind the car, and I go up to the level. The car tried to reverse and pin me in. It was insane. It was insane. So I pull up a 4-story. I pull up, and there's a
big... That was the real sign for me.
It's like a romantic comedy. It's a rom-com. It's a rom-com plot. Like, I'm trying to get to the woman I love, man.
What are you doing? You're getting in the way of love. But then I pull up. I park right next to the security gate, a big mesh metal gate that's like 8 feet tall, totally blocks the opening. You can't crawl, climb anything over it. And I say a memorare. And I say, Mary, you're the only one who can get this gate open. And I'm not kidding you. This is what happened. I touched the metal doorknob. And it fell apart. Screws fell out. Shut up. Both sides fell out. And the little bullpen plug thing just went, eep, and the door swung open. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Her roommate told me that they were doing repairs on it earlier. I don't know. Our lady. I walk up. I gave her a dozen roses. I didn't notice her throwing it casually off to the side. That should have been a warning sign.
The warning sign should have been when I opened the door, because I thought it was my roommate coming back from a wedding. Then she needed help opening the door.
It was her future roommate coming.
I was knocking the door, so I was like, yay! So I went to open the door, and it was him, and I literally was like,
boo.
So pissed. I knew at that time, I was like, we're up the charm. Normally, because this is going from negative, I gotta get it to at least zero. So, I proposed to her on the day that she was renewing her Marian consecration, and I was too, totally independent of each other, with the words of the Marian consecration as my proposal. I choose you this day, Shannon Marie Rothkopf, to be my wife and my life's companion, and I give all that I have and all that I am to you, and all this stuff. Epic proposal. And then she just looked at me crying, and I was like, well. What if I give you time? I said, if you
I
need
give me 3 days.
I know. I said, if you need an hour, I'll just be down the street. If you need a day, a week, a month, all summer, I'll wait. So I didn't tell my roommates that I had proposed to her. They didn't know, because I wanted her to be able to deal with work and all that stuff without them knowing. 3 days later, I had a half day at work. They sent us home early just as a nice little gift. And she comes over to my house and gives me all...
No, I went to your apartment.
Oh, God. You have to bring this line up.
The worst line.
This makes it the rom-com.
Sealed the deal that I was making the correct decision at the time to run away. It was that he opened the door and he goes, I'm here.
It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. I'm just going to leave for a minute. What
was it? He was like, are you here?
It's so embarrassing. I don't want you to
say it. She can't even say it because she's already laughing so hard at it.
Are you here to give me my life or take it away? I was like, so dramatic. I'm like, what is your problem? I wanted to vomit, and I might have a little bit in my mouth, but then I was just like, I gave everything back and left. Nice. Then we prayed to Hail Mary. You made me pray with you.
I prayed. We prayed.
And then we left. Why we prayed, I don't know.
And then I had a phone. And then I had a phone tree. I had a phone tree of people who were waiting to hear. So I'm like, beep, boop, boop, boop. Mom? Yeah. She said no. I know, right? Oh, my God. Okay. Hey, Chris? Yeah. She said no. Tell your wife. Oh, my God. I know, right? Okay. And I got like 50 people. It was
she
awful.
Took my life away.
Yeah. I said, are you going to give me life or take it? She said, I'm going to take it, bitch.
That's the episode. That's the name of the episode.
You're welcome.
I'll take it, bitch.
Anyway, so that's like a really dramatic thing. And then so for like months, we would see each other sporadically. Our good friend Thomas Yeager used to take me on like pity dates because like friends were always together. So like one time in particular, he took me out to Houston's downtown, downtown Houston, which is like a really nice place. And halfway through dinner, like I'm looking at, he keeps looking at his phone because it keeps going off and it clicks and I go, is this a pity date, Thomas? And he goes, what? No, no, I just wanted to spend time with you and have dinner with you and see how you're doing. I go, you're a horrific liar. And I'm a bad liar. So it takes one to know one. I'm like, you're a bad liar. Everybody's having a party and I'm not invited because Michael's there. Am I correct? And he was like, yes.
Oh, no.
No. Rom-com.
Butterfly. So I got like, wings.
Let's finish eating. And
I proposed. She said no to this butterfly. What am I supposed to
do? It was awful.
Not my fault, not my problem.
Anyways.
The funny thing was, we both made a resolution that Houston was too small for the two of us.
Yeah.
So we both, independently of each other, called Franciscan and re-enrolled in a master's program on campus, got accepted, and got housing right next door to each other.
You're lying.
No, not even kidding. But,
four.
Yeah. So, like... So we were officially broken up for like 6 months. And I was having like the world's biggest mental breakdown because I just couldn't handle it anymore. Like, and you know how like when major events happen in your life, they go wrong. It just seems to like everything else.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
When it rains, it pours. Legit. Like, it's so real.
And so I was like, I just couldn't, it was awful. And so then I called my mom and I was like, will you fly me home? And so I went home to St. Louis and I was home not even 24 hours. And then their best friends.
Wait, hold on though. Hold on to that story. Because that's the reuniter. So in my side, she's feeling like Gomer's taking all my friends and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm avoiding all my friends. I find out within the same day that I like did my mega proposal within 24 hours. I found out from a third party that my two roommates were not renewing our lease at the end of the month and they were moving to Sugar Land. and I had to move out, and they didn't tell me. I found out through Audrey McCarthy. So I was like, oh, well, crap. Mm-hmm. So my roommates fell apart. This fell apart. And then I just had some really bad series of incidents at work that peaked. So I started having panic attacks when I would drive to work. I had to pull over because it felt like my heart was like I was having a heart attack. And it led to all sorts of problems. That summer, I was so depressed. I would get like 3 hours of sleep at night. I didn't eat. I lost a ton of weight. I almost hit my goal weight. But
plus side.
I found all the weight.
Yeah, I drank like, not like a fish, right? I wasn't getting drunk, but I was always drinking. You know what I mean? Like every time, every meal, I'm having 2, 3, 4 beers. Now, I was in my 20s and we were drinking all the time, but it was just constant in my life. It was like, it was mother's milk, right? So it was my safety blanket. And so that was awkward. Yeah. So then Shannon goes to St. Louis. Shannon goes to St. Louis, and I had just gotten off the phone with Franciscan, and they gave me permission to come back on campus to be an on-campus student.
Mm-hmm. No, so I was home like not even 24 hours, and my parents get a phone call from their really good friends that their daughter had just been killed in a car accident.
Oh, man.
So my mom looked at me, and I have a sister who is 20 years younger than I am. And so she's got some like special things. And so they were going to have to go out of town to be with their friends to help bring their daughter home and like be present for like the funeral and like all this stuff. And so my mom looked at me and she goes, I need you to stay. And of course I'm like, I'm in the middle of like quite possibly the biggest emotional crisis of my entire life.
Yeah.
I could take care of like all my sister who's never been away from you and dealing with like all of this like stuff with their friends and stuff and whatever. And so for whatever reason that night, like,
she was 8 or 7 at the time, the girl.
Oh man.
It was 8. Yeah. And eight. So for whatever reason I called Michael, like we hadn't talked
all summer. This is the beginning of the school year. She calls me up and leaves me a voicemail because my stupid office is like a Faraday cage and no cell signal from AT&T can get in. So I'm driving home at 5 o'clock at night, and it says, bing, you got mail. So I look, because I use AOL, and I open my I open my flip phone and I listen to the voicemail, and it's from 10 o'clock that morning, and it's Shannon, and she's crying. She's saying, listen, I don't know who to talk to. Someone very close to us has died. I'm watching my mom break down in tears every time the phone calls, because people don't want to call this woman's, the girl who died. They don't want to call her mom to be like, hey, did your daughter die? Did I hear the news?
Yeah.
So they're calling Shannon's mom over and over again, and Shannon's watching us. So I call her, and she says, no, I'm fine now. And I go, no, we need to talk.
I need my in.
I'm still trying to, I'm at the woo stage, but from a long distance thing. And so that night she calls, and it was like straight out of like a teenager.
It was the rom-com. We had to plug in our phones.
Plug in our phones.
Like, sit, because they had died. Wow. They were so hot. You had to like keep pulling it away from your face to avoid like the third degree burn.
The guy who used to be the youth minister for the archdiocese was a big Astros fan, and he knew Shannon was a big Cardinals fan, and the Cardinals were playing a 3-game header at the Astros, and so he took her and a group of, I guess maybe a group, or is it just you two, to a game. The second time was Shannon said, okay, well, I'm willing to talk with you and be around you physically. How about you get a bunch of friends together and we go to this game and just see how it goes? So the Strohs have always lost to the Cardinals, always. And so I said to Shannon, if the Strohs win, I'll buy tomorrow's tickets. And she said, okay. Or if the Strohs lose, I'll buy tickets for tomorrow's game. I said, I'll buy dugout seats behind the Cardinals. The Astros killed the first game they ever win against the Cardinals. So I look at her and I say, I drove her home. She let me drive her home. And I said, can I buy the tickets for tomorrow? She said, yes. It's an hour and 15-minute drive to my house. I got there in 30 minutes. I bought the most expensive baseball, sports ball, anything I've ever bought in my life. About 8 rows back from dugout, right behind where the Cardinals were. I bought the best parking spot so we could go, all this stuff. She invited me to dinner and mass afterwards, and that began the process of us rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Long story short, and then I
spoiler.
Wait, so Shannon was back in Houston at this time?
After the funeral and stuff like that, I came back to Houston because I had resolved with my parents that I was going to quit my job. I was going to go back to Franciscan, and I was going to finish my master's, and then I was going to move home to St. Louis, and I was going to be done with Houston, like, completely. Mm. And then Michael and I had that epic conversation, and that's when we discovered, I was like, he's like, I'm going to Franciscan. And I said, no, I'm going back. We had a fight about who's going back to Franciscan. And I was like, no. And then I'm living in Assisi Heights. He's like, no, I'm living in this. And I was like, no, you're not allowed to. I'm like, I'm going there to get away from you. You cannot come with me. Anyways, and then it was funny. But so then we came back to Houston, and then Hurricane Ike happened. And so we spent a lot of time together with, like, Hurricane Ike stuff. And then it was funny. And then we went to a wedding right after Hurricane Ike, and he proposed for the final time. And I, instead of saying yes, I said, if we're going to do this again, like, we're setting a date today. Like,
nice.
I was at that wedding reception, it was at a golf course. The air conditioning had blown out because of Hurricane Ike, and they were serving Mexican food. And we were seated right next to the food, and it was delicious, but it made the room 1,000 degrees. So I was like, hey, let's go out there. They have a beautiful, they have a beautiful balcony up there. Let's go out on the balcony and let's talk. So we go out there, we're talking, and basically, long and short of it, she agrees to go out, you know, to start back up, to pursue marriage. And then within 24 hours, we had the hotel, wedding reception hall, church, and DJ and photographer booked. And so
from the wedding you were at.
Yeah, from the wedding, you basically went back in there. You're like, hey, can we take all?
All I had to do was call my mom and said he finally proposed, and she was like, on it.
Nice.
She had, like, everything booked.
That's so awesome.
It was funny. It was funny because at the rehearsal dinner the night before, because I was a reader in the guy's wedding, at the rehearsal dinner, she came and I was like, Mike, this is your only, I'm talking to myself, this is your only chance to woo her. Lay down all the game you have. So I'm funny, I'm cracking jokes, I'm making her feel like a princess, doing all the things. And apparently, and afterwards, I invite her back to my place for a romantic movie. And by my place, I mean my parents' house. And by romantic movie, I mean Terminator. We watched that. And on our way home, she calls her mom, or that next morning calls her mom and says, what do you think if I were to get back with Michael? And she said something like, we've always loved him. We're just waiting for him to stop being an idiot. And something along those lines.
Nice.
Still waiting.
Yeah, so tell us how you live in your life of sin.
Joyfully. And quickly.
That was so good. Way to ruin that wedding, though. That's all I got for them. Like, way to ruin that person's wedding. Like, oh, they're engaged.
They had no idea. They were, they were crunk. They had, Villanova. The couple went to Villanova. And all of their, he was in a frat and she was in a sorority, and it was Italian American Central, and they it was like Jersey Shore invaded Houston. Yeah. It was awesome.
So much spray tan.
Smell it in the room.
That's amazing.
As you walk in, it's really
perfect. Yeah, that story, I was engulfed in it.
Wait, so then once you got engaged, did y'all both move back to Franciscan together and do the masters? Like,
so we did. So we both
lived together.
Lived together.
We both quit our jobs on basically our last day was like December 31st, 2008. And on January 4th or 5th, we started up at Assisi, or up at Franciscan in the grad program. We lived at Assisi Heights, which is their, you know, off-campus housing. And the units that they put us in would just happen to be right next door.
And there people lived inside them were friends with each other. So
yeah, so they already had community together.
Nice.
And so every day we would go to class together. We had 2 out of our 3 classes together until I switched. And then my traveling started. Mm-hmm. I paid for grad school by traveling around and giving talks. Basically, when a bill was due, I would get a talk right before the bill was due. And they would pay me enough that I could buy peanut butter, spaghetti, and sandwich bread, and gas for my car, and tuition. And I went and paid for all my graduate school in cash, you know, in person. I had saved a bunch of money, too. And then she finished in May. And I still had 2 mini-masters to go. So I finished a week before we got married.
You got married at the end of June.
I drove straight from the last $75 I had was snuck into my car by my father-in-law when he brought his other daughter up for a campus tour during the summer. And I, like, showed him around.
That's
I took
sweet.
Him to the airport, and he put money in my cup holder, and I didn't even know it. That was the last money that I had to buy gas to drive to St. Louis.
That's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Her family's great. I love. I'm really blessed to be.
Your family's great too.
I really wish we need to find a way to put this video up there, because like, Shannon's face when she said that was priceless.
They totally
right?
are.
That's so good.
Lie, woman, lie. This is on the internet, woman. You lie. My parents know how to do the internet.
Yeah, right? That'll be
just
the next meme.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so Gomer said something earlier about horrible boyfriend but great husband. And I kind of want to, like, hear y'all unpack that as well. Because, I mean, to be honest, it does sound like the beginning of y'all's relationship was hella rocky.
The dumpster fire.
Yeah, really.
It was so bad. We often joke, we're like, we, like, will pick, like, when we should have started dating. We're like, the first, like, basically 3 years should have not existed. Like, yeah. And then things would have been fine. But, you know, like, you like someone and you're just like, whatever, you don't think about it. You're just...
Yeah.
Our personalities worked so well together. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, we were always close
friends. Everybody used, I think that was the other thing, is everybody who hung out, when we hung out together, said the same thing. Like, that we just...
Yeah, we just clicked. We're good for each other. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, even, like, people years later, when they found out we finally got married, they were like, oh, thank God! Because like, yeah. They were all, like, it was so funny, like, how invested. But I'll say this. So, then when we got married... we had our first daughter a year later. So she was born beginning of June. So right before our first anniversary. And it was kind of like a tumultuous, like, labor and delivery and not how you expect, and lots of drugs and stuff like that. And so, but I remember, like, the next morning waking up and I was, like, overcome with, like, emotion. And maybe it was like the drugs wearing off, or, like,
the hormones kicking in,
out of narcotics in her system. But
so many drugs. Anyways, and Michael was like sleeping on, like, you know, the windowsill cushion, because that's all, there's not a bed. It's just like, you know, he's very cramped in there. Yep. And he was like, are you okay? He was still like having some PTSD from the day before. Oh. And I was like, no, I said, I just am overwhelmed in this moment, because I'm looking at our daughter Kateri, and I'm like, if we would have done anything different, anything, the good, the bad, like, she might not be here. Like, this is like the culmination of, like, all of our dysfunction, like, all of our running away from God, coming back to God. I'm like, this is his, like, blessing, like, of you came back and we are together and he is the center of our lives finally, right? Like, and I'm looking at her, and that was like the, like, epiphany moment that I had, like, looking at our daughter, and, like, I just couldn't, like, that was it. Like, and all of that past, kind of, like, now we can joke about it and not be like angry about it. Because it was like, no, like, God was in it the whole time. Like, even when we were trying to run away, he was like, you know, no, wait, I have a plan. And we're like, shut up, you know. Like,
broken doorknob, doorknob.
Not a sign, not a sign.
Poor craftsmanship. My bad, I overlooked that one. No, but the thing that actually helped me, and I tell this to people all the time, when I was going through, I'm a very dramatic and emotional person. I don't know if you could tell, but when she rejected my marriage proposal the next couple times as well, I, like, lost it. I would look at my friends and be like, they're her coworkers. I would look at my apartment and be like, this is filled with memories of her. And you couldn't escape it, you know? And so everything was a reminder that I failed in such a huge way, right? That's all I was thinking, was this is my failure, and that's all it's going to be, is my failure. And so what ended up happening was, I tell people this all the time, like, at the time I thought I was going through hell, but I was really going through purgatory, because there was always hope.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see the hope until basically I was halfway through it. In fact, I had a spiritual, my spiritual director, I saw him at Cove Crest summer camp, and he said, you know, I meant to spend some time with you, but I got so busy with all this other stuff. I'm getting on the car to go right to my airport. He's like, what can I tell you? And I go, I don't know, man. I followed your advice and proposed to her. And he goes, to this day, he says to me all the time, I still don't know why you asked my advice. And I was like, me either, really. But he said, he goes, if you're really struggling, read the book of Job. Mm. Now, I've read the book of Job once before. And to be honest, I thought he was a whiny idiot. I could not stand that book.
Yeah.
But I saw the book of Job from Job's perspective. And I have a book. I still have my journal where I wrote down the angriest things Job said to God. And I wrote them down. And every morning I would wake up and I would just read those parts over and over again. You have uprooted my hope like a tree. All is desert before me, a dry land in parched. You alone have done this. I would just say it over and over again. But I never stopped praying. I would pray the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet, but it was only the Sorrowful Mysteries. Like, yes, I'm dramatic. But the beautiful thing is the Catholic Church gives me the tools out in my inner emo to a Christ who knows.
I was going
to
say, Catholicism is like the perfect,
emo,
like
yeah, dramatic.
Like, yeah, it's so funny.
Have you read some of the saints?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bethel. You don't have the Sorrows of Mary? I'm sorry. Sorry, Bethel Church. I'm going to go pray my chapel to the Sorrows of Mary. But it really was a purifying. I felt like I did more growing up and maturing in those 3 months of summer than I did the last 10 years. Yeah. I mean, really. And you can't do that without suffering. Mm-hmm. There's an old Jewish saying, he who has not suffered, what could he possibly know? And it was like this crucible of experience that I would never exchange for the world. Like it grew me up. So
yeah,
that's why I feel like I'm a better husband and father than I ever was boyfriend.
Friends will be like, don't you fight? You guys fight. What do you fight about? And I go, honestly, we don't really fight. And I said, because we fought so much, we gained it. I think we got it all out of our system. Like, our communication is on point because we were so dysfunctional and not communicating that
we learned
such a big lesson. And so, I don't know, I just kind of feel like that experience, like, for some people, you know, obviously it doesn't work for everyone, because then the other problem is people will be like, they'll call us and be like, how did you guys get back together? You know, like, we just broke up and I'm devastated and we were supposed to get married and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, our story is not the universal.
Okay, number one, start crying.
Yeah.
Don't stop until you lose 50 pounds. And get a panic attack and then go visit your mom.
Yeah.
Break all the doorknobs.
The real cool thing is I think it was at the rehearsal dinner. No, the father of the girl who died came up. The girl died at Franciscan. She was a cross-country runner.
Oh, man.
The Rogan sex. And the father came up to bring the other daughter up to tour the campus with Rosemary, Shannon's sister. And, you know, when I saw my father-in-law, he left the money in my cup holder and all that. Well, we went out to eat, and he came out with us. And I pulled him aside at one point, and I said, listen, I have to let you know that I know that with your daughter's death, how tragic that was. I said, but if it wasn't for that, me and Shannon wouldn't be getting married. I said, because she reached out to me watching her mother cry. She felt like she didn't have anyone who could understand. And that was the first time we spoke in 3 or 4 months. And I said, and in some crazy way, I don't know if this brings you solace, but she brought us together. Mm-hmm. And they came to our wedding and they wrote on the little photo border thing, like
they signed it. They said, I'm glad I could bring you together. Love, Kelly. They signed it.
Oh.
I was expecting like the story to be like, and then he punched me in the face and said, get out of here.
That's probably how it would have ended before the purgation.
Yeah, fair enough.
I love the story, and I think, yeah, the whole, like, it's not a general thing for everyone, because I'm also thinking, like, I would probably never tell this story to teenagers, because then they're like, I can break up with my really toxic boyfriend all the time, and we'll get married one day. Like,
I have told that story to teenagers, and I get the same thing every time.
Yeah.
I get the awkward boy who comes up and it's like, so you're saying there's a chance you're an ex-girlfriend, and I'll look at him and go, no. There's no chance. Did she say no? Then you need to leave her alone. Man. Well, you didn't. I go, I was an adult and I knew how to respect her boundaries, even though I was sad all the time. Yeah. Like, I still am not a creeper. I mean, I just ghosted her phone and I look at everyone she calls. Like, what's the deal? No. One of the big things that I learned is this is the danger of social media. Jonathan Alexander goes, He took me out to lunch one time at Subway, because we went there like every other day. And he said,
I'm not for long.
He said to me, how many times have you been on her Facebook page? like after we broke up. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, come on, be honest with me. How many times have you been on her Facebook page since you broke up? And I was like two or three times. And he's like, oh man, I've been on my ex-girlfriend's like six, seven times. Okay. But that's when I realized that social media can create these wounds that constantly reinforce it. So on Facebook at that time, relationship status was one of those huge things.
Oh, yeah. And then like
Shannon had her status from it's complicated or broken up to something else. And she just changed. I think she just deleted that.
It sent a notification
that Shannon has changed her relationship status. So there were all these people in Life Team who were like praying for us. And they like call her and they're like, are you back with Gomer? And she's like, oh, and it was like this, all this fresh.
Oh man!
Praying hands were my profile pic.
My profile pic to send a message to her profile pic,
which I didn't see because I didn't check his face.
They take away Christ's garments at the stations of the cross. I was like, this is my life, man. So if you're my Facebook friend, click my profile picture and go in the opposite direction to see the earliest photos. Pretty much in there is Jesus is nailed to the cross. I'm like, I'm living this, Lord.
She took my life away. That's just so like funny. They took your garments, like, Lord.
I'm going to check his Facebook status.
She cast lots on me, Lord.
And I lost every time.
Well, and it's funny because Gomer's absolutely right. What did I make us do?
I know.
Well, tell him to make me sound good.
Okay, Dino, so cool.
He's right, and I knew it. That's why I had us do this.
This was our pre-engagement. I was a focus missionary, and I was in a relationship beforehand when I was still in college. And then broke up with that guy, but you and I started a friendship. Dana was like the third wheel. There was never any overlap, but we did develop a friendship while I was still dating the previous guy. Broke up with that guy. Then like Dana and I started a really close friendship. And then we realized we had feelings for one another, but I was about to be a missionary and they do the whole dating fast, which I think it's complete and utter bullcrap a little bit. But at that point I was
utter a little bit,
just a little bit. In case Curtis Martin is listening to this,
which he's not, let's be fair.
I know he won't. But anyway, I was like, at that point in time, I was like, we have to do the dating fast, you know? And so like, we kept finding loopholes
best friends who are in love. That's what we call ourselves. Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
We were best friends who were in love. And then we were like, everyone was like, no, y'all are dating. And I was like, no, I'm a missionary. I'm not allowed to date, you know? Like, I was like, no, you guys are dating. And then
that's so funny because a spiritual director told me to start talking to you again.
Just like
Gomer's spiritual director told him to propose.
He was like, you should just keep talking to her.
The way you talk about her, I think God's calling you to like, because we stopped talking, period, once you started being a missionary for like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
And then my spiritual director was like, yo, you need to like, the way you're talking about it, I think God's calling you to like maybe at least have a friendship with her.
Right.
So we decided to spark up a friendship again after not talking kind of like y'all for like 3 to 4 months. And then we essentially ended up just started dating each other.
But then Daniel emailed me. There was a point where
we got in a fight. Yeah. Anna said something about if we were doing this right, we wouldn't even be talking. She was right. I realized we shouldn't be even talking at all.
Yeah.
So I decided to email her about like, hey, we're done being each other's friends. We're doing whatever. I'm blocking you from everything. Because you're absolutely right. Like, I know that I would go on her Twitter. I would go on her Facebook. I would go everywhere. I even blocked her from my phone. I was like, I need to like break that and go.
And we tell this to teens all the time. And they're like, What? He blocked you from everything. I was like,
even Instagram.
Yeah, I was like, Instagram wasn't around.
Wasn't as high as
Instagram. But
she doesn't need to see my thong pics
because I'll send them to her.
What? Natural.
It's natural.
But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
We were what?
What?
She's like, wait. Where am I?
What? Wait.
You're in your
happy place, be the title of her podcast?
This conversation just took a whole turn.
You're welcome. We call that the Catching Foxes twist.
The twist. There it is.
Catching thongs.
I smell a new a new item for our merchandise store that we don't have.
I thought you were going to say Kathy Beard Balm.
I also don't know how I feel about the word smell right now.
I'm smelling a new product.
Well, that's why I said smell. I thought he was like catching thongs. The new beard balm.
The new beard balm.
Because you got fox baits, so now you got catching thongs, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Lots of bring
Okay, wait, what were you going to end with?
But I think social media can be such a weird, like...
Re-wound opener. It's like, it's the salt on the wounds.
Or, like, an emotional, like, just baggage, I guess. Like, you're just continuing to fester in what could have been. It's just awful. But, spoiler, we got married too, so.
We got married. Our wedding was awesome. It was fun. Our reception was fun.
I wouldn't expect anything else. I wouldn't expect anything else from y'all.
Yeah. It was great because, I think if I would have gotten married in my early 20s, like right out of college, I'd have been kind of like a bridezilla. Like, I would have been really like, this is how it's going to be, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I think because, like, life happened and I was just so excited to, like, be married and, like, starting that part of my life. Yeah, my ovaries were like, ah! You know, like, let's go! I was like... I didn't care about anything. Like, I didn't care. Like, I just was like, my parents picked out so much stuff and we just went along with it because we didn't care. We were just really excited about what's going on that day. And
yeah, the best advice I can give to any couple considering getting married or planning their wedding is there's no such thing as a perfect wedding.
Nope.
And when you really accept that, you can have a great wedding.
For sure.
But until you accept that, it's not going to be perfect. Like, you're gonna lose your mind.
We almost wanted the imperfect wedding because we were like, these are like great purposeful stories. Yeah, like, these will be great stories for our kids one day.
No one wants to hear my mom screamed at the linen lady because they were the wrong shade of fuchsia. Like, no one wants to hear the bridezilla story or the...
They didn't have it on our wedding. There was no fuchsia.
There was no fuchsia. It was always terrible colors.
Was it rose? Or pink. Pink or rose?
No, we had
blue and green. Navy blue and green.
Nice.
Navy and white.
Navy and white.
Wow.
Navy.
In the back.
He wasn't really there.
In the flowers. The leaves. The leaves were green.
Yes.
The leaves on the bouquets.
Cool. All the men, I just told them to wear black suits. They didn't have to buy a tux or anything. Most of them had black suits. Some of them that didn't. They were like, well, I need to get a black suit. So I bought everyone a matching tie and... The women had a bridal outfit that they could also wear as a something outside of it.
It was a full-fledged bridesmaid's dress, but they picked it.
No,
whatever they wanted. That's what it was. They just picked it. I was picked it.
Okay. We had some friends that got married, and they just did black dresses and black suits, and they just had a sash that they bought for them with the matching colors, and so the women could not feel like they're dropping another X amount of $100 on a wedding and that they're never going to wear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, our wedding was funny because we had
a lot of pregnant people in the wedding.
Our wedding party was varying stages of motherhood, like from pregnancy to nursing and then like minors. Like, it was like, oh my gosh. It was
my brother, who's kind of not really in the church. One of the things he said to me is my older brother, about 2 years older. I have both my brothers in there. My brother Chris looks at me and he goes, right before we walked out in front of the altar, like seconds before the wedding started, he goes, Mike, half of all marriages stay together. Are you sure you want that to happen?
That's awesome.
I'm like, you're not that dad.
That's really good. That's really good.
That's really good. That's really good.
Chris.
He's so single.
He's so single.
He wants to be. Does not want to get married. He's living the life.
That's crazy. Yeah. Total Catholic wedding, I assume.
Yeah. Totally.
Enough priests that one of the...
Did you preach at your own wedding?
Huh?
Did you preach at your own wedding?
I want to say this. I said almost nothing during the 3 or 4 days. I said almost nothing. Because everyone was like, Gorm is going to get a microphone. Watch out. He's going to take it up. And I said nothing. My dad had a nice, very short thank you at the rehearsal dinner. Her dad was wonderful at the reception. That was it. I never said a thing.
Yeah, no, it was like,
I was there for my friends and my bride.
We had enough priests.
In that order?
That's why it was perfect. Gomer yeah, said I mean, Luke not was a there. Thing. Luke was there. Oh, there it is. That's why it was.
The other husband was there.
The other wife.
My other husband.
Yeah, that's true.
It changes for us, yeah.
So a woman called me from Anchorage, Alaska, who's a fan of catching foxes, invited me out to do a young adult event in June. Awesome. I'm from Houston. Being in Alaska in the summer sounds amazing. Oh. And she says, I can't pay you very much, but I can offer you the tickets and the hotel. It's coming to us very cheap, so we can do it. I don't know if you have someone donating miles or whatever. She said, so we can do that. And she said, so the way that we want to pay you is by flying your wife out with you so you can have it like a date vacation thing and that you guys can stay there. And she said, well, you can stay a couple extra days. The event's just one day. And I said, that's awesome. And she goes, you know, we were thinking about having Luke and you and do a catching foxes thing. But she said, but this, you know, we just can't pay. And so I feel bad. So we think this will be a beautiful kind of experience for y'all. So I'm so excited. So I go home, tell Shannon, and she goes, ugh, invite Luke instead. I'm like, what? And she's like, I don't want to go like talk to people and socialize. And I'm like, all I want to do is talk with other people.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So Luke is coming. We're doing a Catching Foxes event.
Oh, that's
in Anchorage. That's hilarious.
Do you have a lot of listenership there?
We do.
Nice.
Like, 8 people, which is like 30% of the diet.
Yeah, exactly.
We're big in Anchorage.
That's crazy. They'll take him a little honeymoon.
Yeah.
Together in him Anchorage. And, yeah. Him and Luke. I love it.
I fully support it.
That's awesome.
Till we change those laws. Oh wait,
they've been changed.
I got no excuse now.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If it took you that long to propose to Shannon, what the heck is going on with Luke?
He just feels so strung along. Like,
hey, man, I know how Shannon feels now.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for him and Aaron to just kind of die out, and then me and him will go and get an apartment together.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
which
hilarious.
Is great, because, like, now we also, I love Aaron. Oh, my gosh. She's, yeah, like, off. The perfect match for Luke. It's so crazy.
Yeah, puts him in his place
when
all the time.
When we met her in Denver, we were like, Luke, don't you dare. Don't you dare ever leave her or walk
screw
away from
it
her.
Up. Don't you screw this one
Don't
up.
Pull a Gomer.
I was like, and I felt like I had a lot of weight I could throw behind that because when I met Luke, we became close friends like pretty fast. And then he would like sit in my apartment and he would like just talk about girls.
He would just look.
So I was like, for all the payback that I had to endure of like all your pre-Aaron and this girl, that girl, like whatever, it was so annoying. I was like, you can't break up with her.
Luke, before her, was in a serious relationship with the craziest person on the face of the earth. And we've talked about her on the show. But I wish the best for her now. I hope she's doing well. I think she's married maybe now. She was crazy. Everyone, all of her friends, all of his friends were like, break up, dude. And they broke up like 40, 50 times, no joke.
He wanted to bring her to our wedding, and I said, no. He's like, why can't I bring her? And I go, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you want to come to our wedding and have the time of your life, hang out with all your friends and like do, you know, because so many people are going to be there.
Yeah.
Or do you want to have to like deal with crazy psychopath here and like all her emotions and how she's not going to let you talk to anybody and it's going to be a total buzzkill and no, she's not coming.
And he was like, no, you're right.
Yeah, right. And I was and you can have her call me. I will tell her myself that she's not invited.
So wedding. That team that the team you were talking about earlier that comes up to you and tells you like, but it worked for you, man. That was Luke.
Like, yeah.
But it worked for you. Like if I keep breaking up with this person, like, it's gonna work, right?
Yeah. So it was So the thing when you meet Aaron, you're like, you are the yin to his yang.
Oh, for sure.
You are all the strengths to all of Luke's shining weaknesses.
I hope Luke listens to it. Like, they hope they listen. She was awesome. I was like, you are perfect. Oh my gosh, yes, this is great.
She is.
Luke, we know that Luke is going to survive till at least his 40s because she's there.
Yeah.
Before that, it's hit or miss.
Yeah. We got couple extra years to squeeze out of him. Thanks, Aaron. So good.
So we dominated the whole conversation with our
No, this is the best story on our podcast. It was so good. What were you about to say?
I was like, so we're at the 1 hour mark, and we should have been asking more questions, but I really don't care about anything else.
Discussion over instruction.
This was so great.
It rang true in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, okay, I do have one question. How did y'all, so I know Gomer was homeschooled.
That's like a parent.
you're like, oh, don't say it too harshly. I was just stating.
I have many leather-bound books.
Many. How did y'all, I don't know if you're the first homeschooling couple, but you're the first homeschooling couple I want to talk to about this.
Sure. Yeah.
How did y'all decide to do that? Let me tell
the quick story. So I was homeschooled just in high school. I went to public school, private school, and
I was homeschooled.
Okay. I knew all the best of all. I had a small Catholic school. It was rock solid Catholic. I had great public school and elementary school, and I homeschooled myself in high school. and so I feel like I got the best of all the worlds. Shannon is rock solid St. Louis private school champion. She had amazing experiences for the most part, but she was rough. Yeah, but she talked about not just because you were a girl. My body's going through changes. And so, but she said to me when we got married before we had kids, she just always imagined seeing her little girls wearing their Catholic school uniform going off to school. And I was, every so often I'd bring up the homeschooling thing. Like, what do you think about it? We could do it. Come on, we're fancy. We're educated. We could do it.
Never.
No chance. Right, I don't want one of those unsocialized freaks of nature who don't know how to get along.
Who I married.
It's not going to happen.
We're not getting chickens. Guess what? We got chickens.
We wish we had chickens.
Yeah.
We really do.
Damn keto.
But so we, so this was funny. So one day, our kids are in a Little Saints program, my two girls, which is like a preschool stuff, Mother's Day Out kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walk up to my boss and I said, okay, Barbara, I will never get another raise. I will never ask for another increase in my salary for as long as I work here. If you can guarantee that my kids can go to Catholic school for free up until eighth grade, because it was a pre-K to eighth grade. And, she looked at me and she goes, are you serious? Because she was going to offer me a substantial raise because I had done a whole bunch of stuff, like kind of that other people got back. And she was so impressed. Her father, a neighboring priest said to him, if you don't pay that guy $100,000 a year, I'm going to pay it from him. I'm going to steal you from him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously he's not paying me $100,000 a year, but they were going to give me a $10,000 raise. And I said, don't let my kids go to school. And so they worked out the deal. I submitted all the paperwork, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Kateri took the test, was placed in kindergarten 2 weeks before. Shannon says, I want to try it. I want to try homeschooling. Okay.
Thanks, Shannon.
So 1 week before Shannon tells me that, we go. So you know that grand recession, the great recession that hit the country? It didn't hit Houston because we're oil and gas.
Yeah, yeah, we were fine.
The oil and gas stuff hit 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hit 1 week. Hit our collections 1 week before Shannon said that, and we were placed on a wage and hiring freeze throughout the whole diocese. And so I was like, but I had a $10,000 raise that was coming to me. Lost forever. But the deal is still on the table. Shannon read we went nuts reading about how to do homeschooling and all this stuff. And
when I came down to, like, I never felt so much pressure in my life. Where to send your child in kindergarten. Like, there were so many, and then you start reading about schools and what school, like, wow, just the school systems in general, and it, like, enrages you, like, the things that they decide and, like, whatever.
And we live in Texas. Our school board is relatively sane.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not known for its academics. Mm-hmm. And I want freaking smart kids. Like, I really give a crap about their education, and I give a crap about them knowing the rich traditions of the Western world, right? Like the great truths from the ancient Greeks and the Jews to today, right?
Yeah.
And the more you look at public school and private school, it's just heartless educational policies and stuff that were, and not really in Texas, but in a lot of areas. And so we classically educate. I came home the other day and my daughter Kateri was writing in cursive. Hilarious.
Hey.
Writing Latin in cursive.
Yo, you rad Chad. Yeah.
But it's so funny because like both of us took Latin in high school.
Me too.
Like have that background. I don't have any mastery of the language, but to see my daughters have a curriculum that's all blended where the math and the writing and all this stuff, it just connects and clicks and works. And the fact that it takes to actually do a day's worth of schoolwork, it takes 2 hours instead of 2 to 3 hours. And we can travel if we need to, or daddy's going off on another trip. It's not going to kill mommy to go somewhere with the kids. You know, we're not. So it's a blessing.
No, I just decided that if I was going to try it, kindergarten was like a good place to start. Because I'm like, geez, and I can count to 100. Like, we got this. Like, I can do that. And then the more we did it, I don't know, just the more
she took to it like water. Shannon just really
the more fun we had, like, and then just like spending time together and our kids, like, in their relationships with each other. And I mean, they still like fight like crazy and stuff, but then they're like buddies, right? They I don't know, they just
that's awesome.
And they help each other and stuff, and I don't know, it's totally changed the dynamic of our family. And then plus two, I was like, with his travel schedule being so crazy, it's so stressful to have small children and to like do a school schedule where you're like, this kid gets dropped off here, this kid gets dropped off here, but they're an hour's difference. And then this kid picks up an hour before this kid. And so you just spend your entire days like in a car. And I was like, my brain was going to explode. I was like, I cannot do that.
Yeah. You want to know a great reason why to homeschool? Car line.
Gone.
Anyway, so we still like it. And we talk about to our kids because now Kateri is in second grade, and we ask like, if you ever want to go to, like, we talk about going to traditional school, if that's something that they don't want to, like, at this point.
Yeah.
They like having their freedom. They like be able to do the things that we get to do, you know, like, I don't know, we go to the zoo.
Here's the best thing about you go to all the things when all the kids are in school.
Right.
There's no lines. There's no waiting. Mm-hmm. If I want to
It's such a huge community, like, of homeschoolers up here. So yeah.
There's hundreds of families who are homeschooling.
It's not weird up here. Like, us will say, still be like, they're homeschooled. Like, because it's not as big in St. Louis.
Do they think the end of the world is coming?
But I'm like,
are they racist Holocaust deniers? Oh no. You're like,
and on the third day, God invented the Remington bolt action rifle to kill the dinosaurs and the homosexuals. Amen. Mean Girls reference.
Yes, I know.
Literally, someone quoted that to me yesterday. It's I was like, best. Where did it come from?
The best line ever.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. Wait, so if they wanted to, let's say, in high school, go to a regular traditional high school, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, we always say we take it year by year and kid by kid because it's not a universal thing, right? So we have, so even just in our daughters, well, our first three, our youngest, the fourth, he's insane.
He is the cutest terrorist you'll ever see. Yeah, I had no idea that ISIS was recruiting that early, but they are. Kateri's the people pleaser. Cecilia's the anxious, anxious genius, and Noah is the sweetest kid on the face of the earth.
Super shy.
And super shy.
But no, their personalities. So, like, Kateri, in some ways, would do well in a classroom because she would make a lot of friends. But she doesn't realize school is more than that, you know? So I have to work, you know? Our daughter, like Cecilia, another reason why we really chose to homeschool is because she has a lot of things that we're still working through, but she has an anxiety disorder and she has like a processing disorder and like all this stuff, but she's also incredibly smart. And so, but like even going to Mother's Day out 3 days a week for like 5 hours a day, she would like come home and collapse and melt down, and it just took everything out of her. So I'm like, here's a way you can send this child to a school all day, 5 days a week.
The fun thing is we just had our friends over. They love these girls.
Mm-hmm.
They played like crazy from like 1, and then I got home at 5, and I said, let's all have dinner together. So the husband works with me. He comes over.
They didn't leave till like 7:30.
And they didn't leave till 7. Well, at 6:30, Cecilia leaves everyone, walks into our front nook, which is like a breakfast nook. We turn into an art room. And she just sat by herself for an hour and just colored. She just does that all the time. She just has to be done, and she has to cut. And it's like, you can't do that in school.
Yeah. So true.
And then our son Noah, when he was in preschool last year at the Mother's Day Out program,
just took him out. He's so tired.
He is so shy. He can't. He like would never speak.
Well, when he's here, he's loud and talkative, and when he's around people he's comfortable with, he's good.
Fine,
but he's so fun. He's the greatest kid. Imagine a toddler that would tap the crib when it's time for a nap.
Our third kid. Okay. He's basically the greatest kid on the planet, is what we're saying. So our kids are all such different personalities. We just like we'll do homeschool as long as it works, and then if one year someone has to go someplace else, then the person will go and we'll address that as coming.
We're talking today about a hybrid academy. You know, you've seen these that are like
yeah.
So we were just talking about that today and this morning and. Yeah, so
we'll see if that's something that they would like.
There's a good book called "Homeschooling from a Place of Rest."
Teaching from rest.
I always miss.
It's right there.
I used to call homeschooling from a place of peace, and she's like, "It's just called teaching from rest." And I was like, "Okay, so homeschooling from a place of peace." Homeschooling from rest, and when she read that, that took away her anxiety of homeschooling, which a lot of people have. So it was a good book. I highly recommend
it. Because you're like, if my kid's dumb, it's my fault. There's no blame in anybody. There's no system.
No scapegoat but yourself.
And I think I wanted to pick your brains on it, too, because we only have the one, and she's in the
chosen
the one, the child. We have Lily, and she goes to your Little Saints. So it's like a weekly childcare program.
Weekly children's program.
Yep. And so she
designed the logo on Microsoft PowerPoint.
Of course you did. Yes, that's a thing.
It's really
a lot
bad.
Of ministries still
it's really,
do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Shadow is still there. My drop shadow is still
drop
there.
It like it's hot.
Drop it. No, and she loves it. And she does really well, and because she's a freaking extrovert, she is insanely friendly to every kid she meets. And so she loves it. But there's a part of me that I was like, if she stays home with me, I can't teach her everything that she's learning at school. Like, there's a part of me that fears, like, I'm not good enough as teachers. And so I always wonder, like, moms who homeschool, do you have to go through a training program? Do you have to go through, like, teaching certifications? Because I'm like, I'm allowed to teach my child like that.
Yeah, that's
Isn't
scary.
It so weird, though, that, like, now we are so – I'm just realizing it right now. I'm like, why am I so afraid to teach my child? That's so twisted that like we used to want the parents to teach their, like the children
no, still want them to
the parents were the primary force
Educators,
of like source of education and now I'm like I'm not good enough as a school teacher I can't do it so it's so interesting. It clicked in my head. I was like, wait, I shouldn't be scared of this.
Yeah, let's not forget public education in the United States in New England was started to remove Catholic kids from their parents and to Protestantize them. That was the project, especially in Massachusetts, of early experiments in public education in America. And the Catholic school system was never more robust than in the United States because there were all sorts of things like this going on. And so they created an entire system. Then you have people like Catherine Drexel and Francis Cabrini, whose whole initiative was to educate those, the American white Anglo-Saxon Protestants despise, which is the newly liberated slaves and Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And so they founded all these schools that are now historic black colleges and all of this stuff. It was started out of this Catholic zeal for education. The Jesuits, the Christian Brothers, all of those teaching orders of nuns, they built the Catholic education system in America that no one else could hold a candle to.
Yeah.
And then with the Land O'Lakes statement, they sold out their Catholic faith and they became basically a Catholic version of a state university. And then the Catholic schools just desperately want to pretend to be public schools. Mm-hmm. There's nuns each, so it's all lay people now. Mm-hmm. So the cost has shot through the roof. So if you have to pay a teacher a just wage because she's not living in a convent anymore and you pay them all $50 a month, right? Well, that makes sense if you're a nun. You don't need a lot of stuff. Yeah. I mean, I probably should have gotten paid a lot more than what they were getting paid, but
right.
But when you have 50, you know, lay teachers, that's a totally different financial dynamic.
Right.
Most Catholic schools can't handle it. So,
yeah.
You know, the whole idea of, the whole thing is just crazy. So in Canada, some of the provinces have just sold all their Catholic schools to the public school system.
The more you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I felt required to give you a brief.
No, you're scaring the shit out of me, Gomer. Golly. Like, oh my gosh.
Wait, what if I still
want
my
school public schools, man.
We homeschool not because we're anti-school. It might sound weird following that statement, but fully, like, that might have to happen someday. You know? It's fine. Like, so it's not, we're not anti-school. We just feel like.
Yeah, the problem, once you homeschool, people who don't homeschool feel like, oh, I guess I'm not good enough. And then you have that weirdness where, like, every time you'll hear someone say something like, when I started homeschooling, that's when I truly felt like a mother. And then a person who doesn't homeschool says, so you're saying I'm not a mother?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I didn't mean that. I just meant this. And, and then it gets all awkward. We have really good friends who teach in public schools. We would send our kids to those schools in a heartbeat. They're amazing schools.
Right.
However, for us, this works.
Right.
Because none of those schools can give our kid a classical Catholic education for free-ish, you know, for the price.
For a cheaper,
Cheaper.
Well, and I was going to say, after following Gomer's teaching moment, I was going to ask Shannon, like, does he always do that? Like, when you're in, like, conversation, does he bring up a lot of facts? I always
wonder
that. Well,
honey, let's not forget, sex was started.
By a fish in Scotland. I'm not lying.
No, sometimes I'll be like, this is all I need. I don't need this.
Yeah. Like,
just this. Just say just this. That's all I'm asking.
And then I'll say this. Well, actually, and it punches me in the mouth.
And then I walk away. And I'm like,
and this is me saying no to you.
Yeah. Me taking your life away.
Yeah. Real quick about Shannon saying no to me. So I still have an issue with anxiety. That's like a big thing in my family.
Oh, are you talking about this?
So I haven't filed our taxes for 2017 yet.
Oh, no.
Now, I paid on April 14th at midnight. I just paid a lump sum to the government because you still have to pay your taxes.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if you don't file. So I pay the taxes more than what I think we'll owe. And then you file for an extension, and it's in October, like October 15th, 31st, whatever it is. Well, that date comes and goes. Then November, Shannon starts getting all uppity and asking me, have you paid our taxes? Have you paid our... Meanwhile, I just have low-grade anxiety the whole time about
that. Here's the difference between Michael and I. I would say I'm type A-ish. I love lists.
A+.
I love checking things off. I am like, dun-dun-dun-dun, this is how we do things. I meet Michael Joseph Wormley. Not a list in sight.
He is Jack Black.
So, like, our first year of marriage, this was when I got introduced to his taxes anxiety, and I was like, what? Just file the taxes. And so it was like, oh my gosh.
In my defense, because I am a sole proprietor and an LLC and all these things, it's so complicated. And it's not just, here's my salary, H&R Block. I did that one year. I was like, here you go. And they're like, oh, dear, we need a long form for you. That's going to cost another $300. And I'm like, I don't understand anything that just happened. Right. So I have nothing but anxiety about it, even though it's no big deal. It literally takes me about 20 minutes to figure out what I need for my taxes. So she told me at the end of November, she's going to withhold sex. Unless I turn in all our tax documents.
That's all I have left. I'm like, I don't have anything else.
Nice. Nothing so left.
She totally went to war with the fruit of her loins against me.
I wore a lot of stretchy pants.
It was yoga.
You did a lot of stretches?
Yeah, a lot of those stretches from early on.
A lot of stretches.
Well, God bless NFP because it was also ovulation time.
Well, that
so we were so... we were refraining anyway. But she said, listen, I'm off ovulation tonight. So I took an extended lunch break, drove all my taxes down to a tax guy who I told them, I said, listen, I know I'm
you're
well
like
past
shaking. Like, look, man.
Sir, I have the biggest case of blue balls. I need your help.
You were fuchsia at this point. The color was wet.
That's so, fuchsia balls? That's the best Stop thing it. In the world.
Oh, my God.
That's the title for Episode the show. Yeah. So I handed him. I said, listen, I know it's late. And the lady goes, you think? And I don't care how much it costs. I just need this done today.
He's like single deer.
So I took a picture of me, a selfie of me turning in the beauty counter box that all of my and whatever are in.
You know, that I've been collecting since January.
Yeah, for real.
Like a good tax keeper.
I keep telling her, you're the list maker. Here's the paperwork. You go do it. Turns out that doesn't work.
Nope. I will suggest, just because we recently found this, I am in love with QuickBooks. If you get the cheap QuickBooks, like just the sole proprietor LLC, like self-employed QuickBooks,
it's really
the most
easy.
Amazing thing. Like you just literally you sync up your bank account and it tells you like, was this a personal expense or was this a business expense? And I was like, business it is. And it like literally goes
tracks
and then,
all that for
and
you.
Then at the end you just pull the report and then you give it to your accountant and you're like, this is how much I spent on stuff and this is how much I made. Do your thing. And then they just do the thing. It's the best. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is true. Also, do you have separate accounts, business and personal?
Yeah.
So I have a business account and all the money goes there first.
Yep.
Yes.
So it's just a clear record of all that.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I mean, we use some of the business stuff sometimes for personal stuff because you can.
Yeah, but if you're, are you a sole proprietor or a sole proprietor LLC?
LLC.
LLC, yeah.
Okay. So if you're a sole proprietor, it's pay through, no problem.
Yeah.
So you can get paid and then immediately put that in your own bank account. Mm-hmm. So if you do anything more complicated than that, then you got to like pay yourself a salary.
Yeah.
The best thing was sitting down with him one time, the tax guy last year, and he goes, so what are your expenses? And I was like, website, web domain, podcast hosting, that's about it. And he goes, well, what about for your job? And I was like, they pay my plane ticket. They pay my rental car. They pay my hotel. They give me all my food. I give talks and they give me a stipend. And he put his pen down and he goes, you literally have the greatest job for your mentality because you don't have to track anything. And I was like, I have some receipts. And he's like, put those away.
Get over yourself, man. Get over yourself.
Standard deductions. Put those away. And I was like, thank you.
It's like a McDonald's receipt. Sir, they just paid for gas. Yeah, right, exactly. On a business trip, no, for sure.
Now I get to claim this.
Yep.
My Catching Foxes stickers.
Wait, is that a podcast you host or what is that?
Oh yeah. And this one says, I don't know if you can read it. Whoops. There is no cake. There is no ice cream.
There's only carrot.
Happy birthday.
Nice. That's awesome.
Oh, the Summer of Scandal was my favorite series you ever.
So good.
That's so good. That music.
I have the ringtone on my phone.
Music is the best.
Yeah. Check this out. So I go into sounds, and I go to ringtone.
The Summer of Scandal.
So good.
Who made that?
Scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Scandal.
Sorry, I forgot the last part. Who made that?
I did. It's just a bunch of Apple loops that I layered on top of each other.
Nice.
That's how I make some of my music, by stealing other people's music.
Nice.
With that Dropbox, that drop shadow. What was it?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
But I think
but Dropbox is a thing.
I think that's the perfect place to end the podcast on.
You guys, if anyone needs any help with accounting, if you listen to this toward the very end, I'm very proud of you that you made it all the way here.
Definitely.
Go talk to your accountant.
Absolutely.
And if you're a wife, you can withhold sex if you need to.
So what we've learned, Gomer doesn't know how to date because he's scared of losing his freedom. Suffering is a way to grow up quickly. Marriage is a beautiful thing, except when it involves sex and taxes.
Just the taxes. Sex is beautiful.
And homeschooling isn't just for nerds.
Yes. And the public schools hate your Catholic kids.
Yeah.
In New England.
But we do want to thank the Gormleys. I almost said the Gomers.
The Gomers.
Does that happen a lot?
My handle on, is that what it's called? Handle?
Yep.
Sorry.
She's a hacker. Don't worry about it.
whatever, my turn.
Just say it.
Anyways, it's Mrs. AMD Gomer.
Oh, nice. That's good. But we want to thank you guys so much for being on our podcast. Yeah. This was fun.
I know. They're going to stay on because I want to keep talking.
Oh, yes. No, we're absolutely going to talk to them after we're done. I just want to make sure we can end it on a good note to end the podcast.
Yeah. Where can they find you guys?
Find me at Lay Evangelist on Twitter. I check it maybe twice, three times a week. That's it. Or catchingfoxes.fm or Every Knee Shall Bow as a podcast.
Oh, nice.
I'm so excited. It's still only like episode 2. I'm like behind.
They call you Mike in the show notes, and I laugh every time.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Shannon, do you
want Mike in the show notes, but he calls me Gomer.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's so good.
Shannon, where can you find you? Don't
worry about it. I'm just Mrs. AMD Gomer on Instagram or Twitter.
Nice. Perfect. We want to thank Nathaniel, our editor, because he makes us sound so good. We want to thank Elizabeth, our producer, because she just kills it with everything.
Yeah,
she's coming and just destroyed our organization in such a good way. And we don't have our YouTube channel app when this opens up, will it? Yeah.
Nope. The channel will be gone.
Correct. So, not gone. We're stopped. Yeah. We'll talk about it in a second. Because this is going to go out, in like 3 weeks.
This will be after.
But you can definitely follow us still on Instagram at Is In Effect.
Mm-hmm. You can obviously follow this podcast. Continue to follow it because it's the only thing we have now.
And you'll hear us on Monday.
Stay holy, my friends.
Deuces.
Adios.